We can't lose. No, we can't lose.
Enjoy it while it lasts. Gambling gods, fickle bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So easily affected.
We have a shooter and a good one coming out for a new point. Get your bets down, ladies and gentlemen. He's a rolling point is nine. Place nine. Nine a winner. Got a hot hand. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen.
They bet on absolutely anything. Don't make them prove it.
To the tune of 27-17-1 Thursday through Monday.
That's unbelievable.
Between both services. Small sample size, obviously.
You're tuned in to Gambling with Good Juju.
Welcome in, everybody, to Gambling with Good Juju, the show with more good vibrations than Marky Mark and an adult entertainment convention put together.
No?
All right.
Loved it.
We have a lot of laughs planned for today, at least I thought we did, and just a bit of insight into the world of sports gambling. We're drafting for fantasy basketball this weekend, so we're starting to get excited for NBA. Before we talk that, though, we need to discuss just how bad college football coaches are, and return to Pete's idea of betting on coaches, not players, for college championship futures. Juice continues to explore maximizing the utility of Crazy Ninja Mike. And for some reason, Kurt is already victory-lapping NFL MVP futures that are 3 months away from cashing. Hey, don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, check out our merch shop, and spread the word if you don't mind. We're on the socials at Good Juju Bets, and you can access all our content via our website, goodjujubets.net. Done and finished. Juice.
And if you're listening and you enjoy the show or you hate the show, please leave us a review and let us know, and I will read it on air. So, this week, Andy A402, great show so far, 5 stars. Great to hear the sports betting and back and banter of your group. Nice mix of personalities in your group. Thank you, Andy A. Appreciate the feedback.
Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, I love to hear it. I do love the banter between us.
It ain't bad.
We have 20, 25 years of practice put in there. Longer than that.
Old guys.
Right. All right, guys, real quick, let's talk about the squad ride. Uh-oh, we're under 500. 3-4.
Yeah, I've got smoke spilling out of my ears.
Yeah. So this was the first result I was actually bothered by. Where is that why you have smoke coming out of your ears?
I think he's just mad at Chip Kelly.
Mine is Chip Kelly. That's it?
Which I don't know how. No
comment. Genuinely 100% not Chip Kelly's fault.
Always Chip Kelly's fault.
All our prior losses were, you know, pretty close. Or in the case of Illinois, picks made by us, completely uninformed. But this week we weren't very close. So that's
no, nice. Wasn't close, huh?
No. We were trailing that line the whole game. So
what was the bet?
It was.
I don't know. I made 40 bets on Saturday.
I don't even know what sport Chip Kelly coaches.
It was Washington.
Good for
State.
You. I wish I didn't know.
Washington State UCLA over what, 49? Something like that we had? 48?
No, 59.
Oh my God, 59 and a half. And it didn't hit 49 and a half.
It didn't hit 49 and a half.
Well, it got exciting.
Thanks, Chip.
It got exciting in the thread when maybe someone was going to go to overtime. But unfortunately,
right.
I guess
what we needed was it finished 27. Or it finished 17-25. We needed Washington State to score a touchdown, get a 2-point conversion, send the game to overtime, and then both of them score a touchdown in the first or second overtime.
So we were right there.
We're right there.
Just 3 or 4 touchdowns short.
I thought we had it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. That said, look, free picks are free picks. We have nothing but appreciation for Undercover Capper. I did discover his Twitter handle isn't so easily spelled. It's Undercover, spelled correctly, and then Capper, C-A-P-P-R. There's no E in Undercover Capper.
I noticed that when I put the video together.
Yeah, if you go to find Undercover Capper and he does have an E, don't follow that guy, okay? Follow our guy, okay? Check him out on Twitter for more action. Here's hoping, you know, get hot, stay hot on those free plays. We'll be keeping an eye on him. So this week, we're going to actually tease next week. We're going to be riding with our main man, Corby Craig of Keep Betting Co. He gave out SMU ECU over 51.5, and that number has dropped to 49.
I mean,
well, I'm not here to trail you.
I got it at 49. Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm very excited.
Hammer.
I'm excited. I did play it at 51 at some point.
Well, it probably doesn't matter. It's going to cruise. It's probably a head fake.
Right. Look, we're going to have Corby on this very program next week to talk modeling. So stay tuned. We're either going to be having fun with him as a winner or having fun with him as a loser.
Yeah.
As a winner. We'll get to 500.
And if you're listening, don't dally because this game is starting in about 20 minutes.
2 a.m.
24 hours. Oh, you're saying from when the episode releases.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
right. Because the episode's going to release in the afternoon. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're listening, listen quick. This is why you should follow us on the socials.
Oh, there you go. Good plug.
We're going to drop that free play in a video in the morning. I'll do it first since it's a Thursday game. I'll do it this week before I do the podcast.
Genius.
Give us a follow at GoodJujuBets. Okay. Thank you, Corby, for the play. We certainly appreciate that. And we're looking forward to getting back to 500. So, all that said, let's get to the fun stuff. Everyone is talking about this, and I want to as well. The exact thing we just discussed last weekend with Mahomes and the Chiefs. Should he have slid and then run out the clock, or should he have scored because it was over anyway, as Kurt put it? He slid. They kneeled it out. Game over. Fast forward to Saturday, featuring not smart college players and coaches. Third down, less than 40 seconds to go in the Miami-Georgia Tech game. Now, Georgia Tech has zero timeout. And if you're in third down with less than 40 seconds to go, the college football clock is 40 seconds, ladies and gentlemen. And the other team doesn't have any timeouts. What do?
You kneel.
Because then the game's over.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing anyone can do. You could probably play that a million times, and they might not fumble that snap once in a million times. Inexplicably, what they do instead is run a play, fumble, Georgia Tech recovers, runs two plays, touchdown to win the game. I can't believe that. I cannot believe that happened in sports.
Undefeated. They're undefeated, too.
Unbelievable.
Miami was
4-0.
Wow. Well, not anymore.
Miami has dudes.
Yeah.
With the NIL, Miami was one of the programs that went out and bought a bunch of dudes.
Got it.
So Miami has a lot of four-star, five-star talent on their team. They just have a coach who has never once in his career been described as a good coach.
So then let me ask you, you know more about Miami than Juice and I. Miami, say they win that game, are we talking, could they potentially be a one-loss team and make it to the playoffs?
I don't think you're getting a one-loss ACC team in the playoffs.
You think undefeated ACC has to?
I don't think a one-loss Florida State gets in, and they just beat LSU earlier this year.
Okay,
I think that the AC, there's not enough good games. Like you got these other teams. You know, like they're questioning whether or not Texas can get in right now.
Yeah,
because they lost to Oklahoma.
So Miami was going to have to run the whole table to get in the playoffs.
More That's than my likely. Guess.
Okay.
Like they were 4-0. I don't remember Miami. Miami beat Texas A&M. That was their one big game. Texas A&M is a disappointment to everyone every year, so that's not a surprise until Jimbo Fisher's gone. Speaking of which, I mean, we saw these gaffes all over the place. Jimbo Fisher could have beaten Alabama with a little bit better play clock management. Interestingly, both Will Venables and Steve Sarkisian took heat for their decisions in the Red River rivalry. You and I, Kurt, were talking about this back and forth while we were planning the agenda, and we were like, wait, which coach are you talking about?
Yeah.
You were talking about Venables, and I was talking about Sarkisian.
Yeah, so what did you go first? What did Sarkisian do?
Oh, Sarkisian takes over the ball with like 5 minutes to go and just keeps running play after play with 20, 25 seconds left on the clock, ends up getting into field goal position, kicking a field goal, but giving Oklahoma the ball back with well over a minute left to go. And if he hadn't been running all those plays, they get the ball 4 minutes. They don't want to be running a fast pace there.
Right.
They're running up-tempo with 4 minutes to go. You run up-tempo with 2 minutes to go. 4 minutes, you're trying to bleed that clock and not give them the ball back.
So, and that kind of leads into what I was witnessing in that game from Oklahoma's side, and that I was watching that game, and Oklahoma, Now, I understand a lot of college teams do this. They run as many plays as they possibly can to essentially tire out the defense, right? So Oklahoma is getting the plays called in, and they are running plays with 30 seconds, 28 seconds still on the play clock. So they have no regard for using the clock as an advantage over their opponent. Now, what I was referring to when I was mentioning, you know, what Oklahoma was doing is at the end of the first quarter, they get a first down at the 10-yard line. There is 10 seconds, maybe a little bit more on the clock. The play clock is totally turned off. So they get a first down, and instead of letting the quarter end and using the quarter as a timeout to regroup, okay, what are we going to do down in the red zone? What's our game plan going to be? They run a run play with seconds left on the play clock and get stuffed for no gain. And the first thing I'm thinking in my mind is like, what are you guys doing? You just wasted a first down in the red zone at the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
When you use the end of the quarter for a timeout, regroup, come up with a plan.
Yeah, you're saying don't even call a play.
No.
Just go to the quarter.
You watch an NFL game.
Are they racing to the line of scrimmage off of the tackle? Like they're all running up and trying to get it off as quick as possible from the jump?
As they did the whole game.
So they're very obviously just trying to catch Texas off guard on their play calling.
And it's like, you know, Texas deals with this all season. You know, every team that they face runs the same high-tempo, high-speed offense. You're not going to catch them off guard. They deal with this every year, almost every game, with this high-tempo stuff. And so do most of the teams in college football. That's why I don't really understand the strategy. You know, I'm more of a bleed the clock, use the clock against your opponent, instead of just run play after play after play after play. Because you know what eventually happens, Pete and Juice? You have a bad possession, and you take 2 minutes off the clock, and you kick the ball back to the other team and put your defense right back on the field.
And now they got more time.
And now they have the ball, and they're wearing out your defense. So I don't understand that college football coaching. It just drives me crazy.
It feels like college coaches in particular get very set into, this is what we do in this situation, and we're going to do it no matter what.
Yeah.
They're not quite as flexible to calming down and assessing the moment.
Absolutely, 100% agree. And, you know, that plays right into what you were talking about with Miami. Like, what is the Miami head coach doing? Like, what is the thought process there?
They could have run down that play clock to 1 second and then taken a timeout and then stopped and thought about what they wanted to do and gone, oh, wait, it's third down and there's less than 40 seconds. They don't have a timeout. Oh, we'll kneel.
Done.
They could have taken a 5-yard penalty.
They could have done anything
They could have drawn the penalty to move them back 5 yards.
They could have. They could have taken their whole team off the field and said, "What are you going to do to us?" Then they throw the flag, and then you go, "Okay,
we'll go kneel it now.
We're going to go kneel, and we win."
Crazy.
But instead, no
chance they were going to cover, right?
Let's put this ball into play and see if we can get a first down here.
Were they double-digit favorites? They must have been, right?
Yes, 19-point favorites.
Yeah, so they were not.
Cristobal blamed his players after the game.
Oh, did smart. He really?
He was like, yeah, I mean, in that situation, we knew that we just need to get the first down, and we win, and we didn't execute. It's like, what? What?
Oh, boy.
All right, so look. Whether we're talking about Mario Cristobal, Will Venables, who was the other one? Steve Sarkisian.
Sarkisian, yeah.
I don't know that any of those are necessarily ranked particularly highly in terms of coaching chops. They may be known for the recruiting. They may be known for other things. But they're not the guys that stand out when you think, who are the best coaches in college football? So what I wanted to do, and this is a callback to a conversation we had when we were talking about Sweet 16, we were looking at the teams who were left in the college basketball tournament. I said, you know what we need to do next year? Rather than trying to figure this out based on players and talent and things like that, we need to just look at the coaches. Who are the smart coaches? Who are the bad coaches? Then take a look at who are the smart coaches with the best teams and pick those guys to win.
Agree.
So that got me thinking today.
Here we are.
It's time to go data diving with Breezy. First time I've actually done this. We did it in the stress test, but I talked about doing it more. So we're going to do it more. Here's what we did. I want to take a look at the top of the college football rankings and see if we can identify a couple futures based on coaching factors. Now, let me give you a little breakdown of what I did. First, I took all the teams in the current top 25. Why I did that? Well, it's what I did initially. Later down the road, I thought, oh, there's probably some better things I could have done there. Don't worry about it. We're going to get to some of the limitations of this research as we go along. There are several. Don't worry about it. So I ranked all the teams by ranking.
Man of the people.
I then used PFF. What is that? Pro Fantasy Focus?
Pro Football Focus.
Pro Football Focus. They ranked the top 25 coaches in the preseason. Okay. It was kind of hard to find that list. I did a lot of looking into how do I find an unbiased list of rankings of coaches. So that's the best one I could see that wasn't like a, you know, Bleacher Report or something like that type article.
A little bit more scientific than that.
Right. So we'll get, there's some flaws here, you know, don't worry about it, but that's actually something reasonable. So then I looked up one more factor. I wanted to look up the remaining strength of schedule.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay, so where they are right now to where they are. So we've got where they're ranked right now. We've got a list of who's the good coaches, and we've got a list of the remaining strength of schedule.
This is like exactly how you drew it up, right? For college basketball?
This is basically me pretending to guess at what could go into building a model.
Love right? it.
So we're going to learn more about that next week with Corby. This is very unscientific. This was done in a couple hours. Obviously, to do anything real would take a long time. So we're taking those three factors into account. And then I created a formula for that, applying weighting for coaching, applying weighting for strength of schedule, and applying weighting for current ranking. I then compared the ratings I got against the current odds. So teams with a substantial outlier, we would then look to bet some of their futures if given favorable odds. So now I've got a ranking based off of my factors with coaches. And if you look at the top five, well, let's focus in on the top four first, because the top four that netted out my formula also are top four in the standings right now. Georgia 1, Michigan 2. It flips Ohio State 3 and Florida State 4.
So you're weighting these three factors somehow.
Weighting all three of those factors. Current ranking gets the highest factor because that's telling us how good are the teams right now. The second highest factor I gave was coaching.
Yeah.
And the third highest factor I gave was remaining strength of schedule.
Interesting.
So I don't know what the correct decision is there. Like, you would have to actually do the research on which of those, you know, factor in more to future predictions. Right.
Yeah.
To get to that. So overall, we're pretty close. That made me feel good about where we were. But there was one outlier in that group. It was Alabama. They came in at number 5. They were number 9 on the odds boards in terms of. So that's almost a double jump from the relative to position. Now, when we look at these groups and we start thinking about other factors for outliers, there are factors to consider primarily like competition within conference. The Pac-12 really suffered here. Per my rankings, there are 5 teams in the top 12, but they all fell between number 7 and 12. So how are you going to pick one of those teams to then come out and win the title? Overall, far and away, Georgia and Michigan, you cannot go wrong with picking either Georgia or Michigan. They were way out in front of the other teams in my rankings, and their odds, if you look at the odds boards, are also dramatically lower than they are. So if you want to bet them, great, but you're looking at sub plus 300 to get into either of those teams. I would definitely be looking to stay away from Penn State, Oregon, Washington, and Oklahoma. Those are teams 4 through 8 on the odds boards. They all have limiting factors, whether it be strength of schedule or, in some cases, coaching, that draw them back. So that brings us to number 9 in the first future I placed, and that was Alabama.
Ballpark odds on that?
Plus 2,000 to get Alabama. Okay. They have 4 of their 6 games left at home.
Okay.
They've already beaten 2 out of the 3 remaining good teams in their division, and the other one is LSU, who they get at home. The other best-ranked team they have left is Tennessee, who they also get at home. They should be easy favorites in each of their remaining games, and you might be surprised by this, but they were PFF's number 1 ranked coach. Shocker, Nick Saban, right. Number 1. So I felt pretty good about that.
20-1 feels good.
20-1 on Alabama to win the national title. You look at the remaining 6 games, they're going to be favorites, and pretty reasonable favorites, I think, in all 6 of them.
How many games have they lost? You know, 2?
They've lost 1.
One
game.
Okay. But so, they were in a couple of dogfights, right?
they were early, but they're starting to figure out the quarterback situation with Monroe. Now, they've looked better the last six quarters of the season. And if there's a team you want to pick to bet on, how can you go wrong with Alabama?
I'm in.
I'm in too.
Alabama at plus 2,000. Now, outside of the top 10, you're starting to get into rankings that aren't real for college football.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and say you should bet on team X or team Y because they stood out. But there were some teams that really did stand out as well. There's one team in particular that I went ahead and placed a bet on today, not to win the national title, to win their conference. I'm not going to tell you who this team is yet, and I'm going to see if you guys are interested in betting on them. All right. I was blown away when I saw the odds for this one team to win their conference. They have one of the easiest remaining schedules and a conference that's littered with top 25 matchups. Four of their last six games are against the four worst teams in their conference. They are dogs this week, but if they win, they don't play another competitive team until the last week of the season. The top four teams in the conference, however, all still play each other. So that means there's three games by each of these top four teams against each other. They're 3-2 against the spread so far, but their three wins they've cruised, and their two losses, one is their only loss of the year, and the other one was a 15.5 point spread where they won by 14. This also is plus 2,000, 20-1. Do I have you interested in placing this bet?
20-1 to win the conference.
20-1 to win the conference. And here's what I'll tell you. Here's the strategy on this bet. They are currently plus 150 this weekend. However, the other top teams in the conference all start playing each other this weekend. So if they win this game, they then play the four worst teams in the conference, and all the teams above them are playing each other for the next 4 weeks before they get to the last week, where if they win this game and they don't drop against the four dogs, your hedge opportunities going into the final week of the season should be substantial.
Not necessary, but I'm in.
Can I guess?
Oh, I think that's part of the gag.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Is it Penn State?
It is not Penn State.
Mm. I'm out of guesses.
I didn't want you to go through this exercise thinking, can I guess it?
Yeah.
I want you to go through this exercise and think to yourself, all right.
Well, it sounds like a great strategy. I mean,
am I going to go along with this?
Yeah. If every other team that's ahead of them are playing each other.
Let me give you a couple more facts that I forgot to put on the sheet.
Okay.
This coach is ranked in the top 15 coaches.
Okay.
And their one loss of the year was to a coach who was ranked in the top 10. It was on the road, low scoring game, and they lost by one score. That's their only loss.
Okay.
All right.
I'm in. Tell me what color helmet it is.
It's got to be somebody who lost to Alabama, right?
Are you in?
I'm in.
Okay. Kurt is betting on Chip Kelly. Let's go, no, UCLA. No, you did it. You said it. Kurt is betting on Chip Kelly. You have to do it. You promised. You said you're in.
I'm so in.
I knew there had to have been a catch.
UCLA. Can we squad ride UCLA to win the conference?
Oh.
Yes, we have to now.
What conference are they in?
I've already bet them in. They're in the Pac-12. Look, they play Colorado, Arizona State, Stanford, and Arizona. After Oregon State, they play this week. If they beat Oregon State, UCLA, Utah, Oregon, and Washington all have to play each other between now and the final week of the season. And if we wait until after this weekend to bet it, it's all going to start moving. All going to start moving. Okay. And UCLA has nothing after Oregon State, and they've looked good. And the thing that I'll say to you about Chip Kelly is, both games you're mad at Chip Kelly because we didn't hit the over, he covered the spread.
That's fine. He didn't score enough points.
He scored exactly enough points. He won the game, and he covered the spread. He doesn't care about the over in the game. That doesn't matter.
Well, it mattered to me.
I know it did. And now you're betting on Chip Kelly to win the conference as a result.
Well, you know what? If he wins this bet, all is forgiven.
All right.
So do they play each other to win the Pac-12, or is it just they vote on it?
The top two teams play.
They have a championship.
Okay. We're not looking for them to win the championship. We're looking for them to get to USC last weekend of the game with one conference loss. That's my goal.
I mean, it's a great find. It's a great find. I'll play. I'm in.
I'm trying to find the 20-1 right now. Got a sports book on that, pal?
FanDuel. Yes.
FanDuel.
FanDuel.
Okay.
FanDuel. Both of them. Alabama was 20-1 on FanDuel. So was
good old FanDuel, serving the best
UCLA
odds. Future sponsor of the show.
So I played each for a full unit. So I'm excited.
Holy smokes! Wow,
you're trying to make units, some money.
Units, dog.
Look, I spent multiple hours working on this.
Yeah.
If I'm going to put the time into it, I'm going to make it worth the while.
I agree.
So this was a fun exercise. Found myself a couple wagers. I hope I might be able to at least hedge in the next month, if not outright profit from. Like I mentioned, we're going to look more into modeling as we move forward. I wouldn't say this cuts the mustard in that regard. So we're going to bring on Corby next week of Keep Betting, and we're going to talk through what we will want to consider when putting together a basic model.
So just to recap, Alabama to win the national championship plus 2,000 and UCLA to win the Pac-12 plus 2,000.
Bang, bang.
Bang, cool. Bang.
Awesome.
Yep. Hey, Juice, can you give us a quick update on your crazy Ninja Mike's odds board? I don't think this is going to help, but I did go to 7 different books and compare lines for that conference championship future. This isn't going to help, but what did you learn?
Yeah, pro tip, VegasInsider.com. is your go-to on futures.
Yeah, I see that on the agenda for the first time in my life right now.
Also, pro tip, they have the golfers, which is kind of neat.
I've asked you this question before.
Mm. Okay.
Have you known this for a long time?
Absolutely. Yeah. I have absolutely shared this with you.
Well, now we're both looking at the other like, you bastard.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we are having a moment of old man mismembering.
Misremembering.
Kyle Orton.
Did I say mismembering?
Mismembering.
We're gonna
dismember you in this yes. basement that does look like a serial killer's basement.
So yeah.
Shout out. Roger Clemens or Kurt Schilling? Kurt Schilling? Misremembering?
Roger Clemens. Misremembering's Roger Clemens.
Roger yeah. Clemens. Yeah, there you
go. All right. I can't believe we remembered that.
Pro tip. Use VegasInsider.com for champ odds board and golf to now go.
Go. Yeah. So I've had a lot of fun with the crazy Ninja Mike thing, the plus EV tool and the odds screener. I've been firing a handful of bets on these guys a day. Also got me really re-involved with the odds shopper free tool as well. So I've been banging them both on a daily basis. And had a really good weekend on the NFL side and college football side using them to the tune of 27-17-1 Thursday through Monday.
That's unbelievable.
Between both services. Small sample size, obviously.
I mean, that's not a nothing sample size. It's sure. a 1 week sample size.
Super fun.
7 units?
Seven so units, yeah. Because obviously, you know, these odds are all over the place. Some of them are like in the, you know, plus 200 range. Some of them are in the minus 200 range.
Okay.
That's kind of as far down as I'm going, though.
So let's do this real quickly, since I've got it pulled up here.
Yeah.
And I've been playing a little bit with the Crazy Ninja Mike tool.
Sweet.
Not as much as I'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, when you're in the Crazy Ninja Mike board, what tool do you use?
The Plus EV tool.
The Plus EV tool. Okay. That's the same tool that I've been going to.
Yeah.
Now, when you use it, what are you setting your settings to? To yeah. get these bets.
Yeah, so you got to like read every sentence, because when you just go to it, it's only going to give you sides and totals.
Right. So yeah. I have opted in
okay, cool.
to the other things.
Yeah. Then I'm just using worst case and 1%.
And you set it to sportsbook all, sport all, league all. The only thing you change is the minimum plus EV percentage you set to 1.
Yeah.
And then what's your criteria for firing?
Fire away.
Every single thing no. that pops up over 1?
No, that would be crazy. Like sometimes it's like a game to go to overtime for plus 3,400, and I don't bet all of those.
But if you get a side or a total that says 1.5%, you're firing on it no matter what.
Yeah. It's a lot of alts. It's not really sides and totals too much. They move pretty quickly, right? Because they're so mature. But yeah. And
now, can I ask how many times a day are you checking this tool?
Whenever you got a second.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's constantly updating, right?
Sure.
Okay.
All day long. Okay. Now, I was kind of using Odd Shopper and the Crazy Ninja Mike together to look at each other to compare how they're calculating the plus EV, right? And in doing that, I found like the almost micro markets. One thing Crazy Ninja Mike doesn't do, which I assumed it did, shame on me, is when you have like, say like a passing prop and it's like somebody's got 227, somebody's got 226, somebody's got 219. It's not cross-referencing all of those markets together to get a fair value. It's only looking at each individual one and using all of the odds available for that individual one to get fair odds.
So it's just an average of all the markets?
Nope, just the one. Yeah. So it will tell you minus 101 is fair for under 227.5. And minus 101 is fair for under 226.5, as a for instance, because each one only has two sports books with the line, and it's just using those two. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I've really enjoyed using them both together. And now that football's here, I'm banging all types of props off the Odd Shopper free thing, too. I'd encourage both you guys to look at that.
All right.
Let me ask this. Yeah. How are you handling that wonkiness?
I'm just being aware of it. So now it's less about what you say. Now I got to look at the whole board, right? The whole market.
You got to see if there's more than two running it.
Yeah.
So if you see, like, for example, you see, I'll use this as an example, right? Yeah. Okay. So I played Patrick Mahomes under 273.5 yards passing, right?
Sure.
Only one book had under 273.5.
Yep.
Every other book had either 269.5 or 268.5.
Yeah.
Right. So what you're saying is that would pull up and it would only give you the fair odds for those for 268, 269, and 273.
Yep.
So if you were going to play that, obviously you would take the 273, but it's not going to tell you the difference in EV between the three bets.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So you got to do a little deducing on the side.
Okay.
Whereas Odd Shopper, even with the free tool, if it's the number one on the list, it will try to calculate, I think, the plus EV based on the entire breadth of the prop.
So if it tells you, like, for example, if Odd Shopper were to tell you 269.5 for under Mahomes is plus 1.3% EV,
sure,
and you saw 273, you're immediately jumping to 273.
Totally. Absolutely.
Even though nobody's going to, it's not telling you the EV on it.
So I'm looking at both of them multiple times a day.
Okay.
I guess is the gist of it.
Yep. I like it. That's a good strategy.
It's really neat.
I think that is a profitable way to sports bet.
I mean, if I bang out another 65% weekend here, I'll be like, okay, time to up the ante and quit our jobs.
Just don't think it's going to fit into my life.
I get it.
I don't know how I'm going to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, good. All right. Well, keep us updated as you go along.
Oh, baby.
This free tool is like our new favorite thing. So we're excited to get more information and get a better understanding of what it can do for us, because we know the promo guys use it pretty religiously.
Yeah.
I use to shop my lines. I use that every day.
You're using that
I
have screen
not around. Done the EV tool thing.
Yeah.
I was using it incorrectly when I first started using it. So I'm going to set my settings the way you got it. I'll start looking at it 75 times a day. And then you recommend adding Odd Shopper, right?
Odd Shopper, yeah.
Okay. And there's a weird thing that you got to do to get those, right?
Well, they got a lot of screens to look at. Okay. There's one specific one I look at. I'll send it to you. And you can basically choose your league, your market, your sports book. And every time you change those filters, you basically get a new list of four free things to look at.
Beautiful.
Which is awesome. That's kind of the awesome part. So there's basically an infinite amount of free stuff.
Perfect.
Shout out Odd Shopper. Please don't take that away.
Now, will you do our audience a favor and post that link?
Absolutely.
Okay. You got that, audience. You're going to get a nice Odd Shopper link. And we'll probably, we'll have him put the Crazy Ninja Mike.
Once again, there. Absolutely.
Perfect.
Kurt's doing a great job lately of giving us work on mics.
Shout out Jolly Save Pick.
He's looking out for the audience. I appreciate it.
No, I'll definitely link those out.
All right. Let's talk a little NFL football while we're here, fellas. First of all, what if I told you, fellas, that I was going to see if we could talk to a Chicago Tribune beat reporter about whether or not the Bears should take two quarterbacks in the top five picks.
God bless you.
That's neat.
I can't believe you pulled this off.
I have booked Chicago Tribune Bears beat reporter Colleen Kane in 2 weeks to tell me I'm crazy for thinking the Bears should do this.
Well, I can't wait to see how polite she is.
That, yeah. Plus, we'll probably pick her brain about other general NFL stuff while we have her. So that's really exciting. We're really excited to get someone to come on the show and actually, give an unbiased opinion on just how dumb I am.
I think my favorite part is it's in 2 weeks. And that means there's two more Bears games between now and then, right?
No, we're not talking Bears this week. They won.
They won.
No, we're not talking about it, though. They won. That's it. We're moving on. We are going to talk. Kurt, you wanted to talk Jags, Bills, and Packers, Raiders. What happened in both these games?
So let's start with the Jags, Bills. I'm not sure a lot of people watched that game. I don't know if you guys did, but Jacksonville laid the wood, right?
They sure did.
Absolutely smacked Buffalo upside the head with a brick.
Where were you a couple weeks ago, Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Thanks, not in London yet.
Not in London.
Their home stadium.
Yeah, yes. Not in their real home field.
So I'm going to start off this game by asking the two of you a question. We've all traveled a lot. Pete, specifically you, traveled through many different time zones. RJ, you have as well. Do you know, based on research, typically how long it takes your body to recover either traveling west or east?
Like your circadian rhythm or whatever they call it, right?
Yes. It's supposed to be a day per time zone, isn't it?
That is correct. A day per time zone. So really the research shows 60 minutes to 90 minutes of traveling through time zones, right? You're supposed to have a day to recoup.
Got it.
So I've heard plenty of podcasts talk about this and saying it's no big deal. But when I'm watching the first quarter of that game and I hear the announcer say that the Buffalo Bills left on Friday to play a game in London on Sunday, I knew they were going to get smoked. And the reason is very simple. Buffalo played a game on Sunday that they prepared, their bodies aren't prepared enough to play until Tuesday, right? So if you think about the travel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they leave Friday. It's a five-hour flight. They travel, London is five time zones. So if you do the math on that, 60 minutes for every time zone you travel through, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's 5 days, 5 days. So typically, if a team from the West Coast, like let's say the Niners are going to go play the Giants, right? They leave Friday, they get there and play a game on Sunday, right? So they travel through three time zones.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 days.
Cutting it close.
It's cutting it close.
90 minutes.
Cutting it close. 90 minutes.
You said 60 to 90. That's
60 to 90. Minutes. So they're cutting it close.
And also, look, I've done a decent amount of travel. It's not the biggest deal in the world. But for an NFL athlete, why you wouldn't go until Friday?
It's insane.
It's a team choice, right?
It is insane. It is one of the biggest coaching blunders I think I've ever seen an NFL head coach make in getting his team prepared to play a game.
That's a hot take.
It's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
To think that you can fly out on Friday, right?
Yeah.
Do a 5.5 hour flight to London, lose 5 hours through the time zone travel.
Yeah.
Right? So you're getting there almost Friday evening. Josh Allen is getting there, right? And he's lost 5 hours. Those guys are used to going to bed at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So London is 5 hours ahead. So if you're leaving Friday morning, you're leaving Friday midday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're getting there when? 1 o'clock, midnight?
And the Jaguars have been there for 10 days.
And the Jaguars have already been there for 10 days. So it's unbelievable to me. They should have left no later than Wednesday.
Is there a precedent for NFL teams? Like, is there?
So,
what do they normally do?
Here's what I want you guys to know.
Okay.
Here is the record for West Coast teams.
Oh, here we go.
Traveling to the East Coast.
This is a good one.
This is a great one.
This has never been cited before.
It's true.
Yeah, sure. No. Yes.
I don't. Yes. We agree.
Since 2003, West Coast teams are 95 and 138 straight up versus East Coast teams when traveling east. West Coast teams traveling east are playing about 500.
Yeah.
So there's a 10% win differential between teams traveling from west to east versus east to west.
So did you bang the Jags this week?
Had I known McDermott was going to leave on Friday.
Did you bet the Bills?
He said first quarter. You know who he bet that he's getting into it this hard.
I would have bet the Jaguars.
But you didn't.
No. I took the Bills -4.5.
Of course you took the Bills. Yeah, right. Of course you did.
That's why this is a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he had taken the Jags, Ryan, he would be talking about how awesome his call was.
Absolutely.
And how he knew what was going to happen.
Absolutely.
We wouldn't be talking about the time change. He'd be talking about, no, I saw something in Trevor Lawrence's arm.
So shame on him.
Yeah.
If he wanted to win the game. Maybe he didn't want to win. I don't know.
But looking back at the end of the year when they're tied with Kansas City, right, or tied with
I mean, they couldn't Baltimore, be tied with Kansas City, right? Maybe.
Right?
There you go.
And there's a, hey, who's going to be the third or fourth seed?
Yeah.
Or the second seed? They're going to look back on this game and go, you know, Jacksonville's an 8-win team, right? We should have beat the brakes off Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Instead, we left for a game on Friday to play on Sunday in London. So, shout out to Sean McDermott. That was my coaching blunder of the week. Now, my second one that I'm going to move to real quick. This might even be better.
Wait. Real quick. Bigger blunder, leaving for London on Friday or running a play when all you have to do is kneel.
It's kneeling.
Yes, it's kneeling.
But that doesn't make it an excuse for what Sean McDermott did.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be furious if Kyle Shanahan did that.
This feels like our podcast episode isn't very good juju. We're sitting here just railing on coaching decisions, both
These guys are unbelievable.
Yeah.
You're getting paid millions of dollars. Like, nobody on the Buffalo Bills told Sean McDermott about travel.
No, certainly.
To another country?
I'm going to look this up tomorrow. Somebody certainly asked him.
Give us the other one real quick. What happened in the Packers-Raiders game?
So, Packers-Raiders game. Did you guys watch that game at all? No, you didn't. Okay. So
Monday night?
Yeah, no. Monday night. Okay. End of game. Raiders have the ball, 4th and 1. They're up 4 against the Packers. 2 minutes left. It's 4th and 1. They're in Packers territory.
Oh, yeah.
McDaniels decides to kick the field goal.
Yeah.
So, Daniel Carlson is 77% from 50 yards and beyond.
Okay.
Jimmy Garoppolo, in his entire career, is 100% on fourth and one quarterback sneaks. 100%. He is the all-time greatest.
Stop.
He was due.
Stop.
He was due.
Fourth and one.
Jimmy Garoppolo is primarily 100% running behind the 49ers offensive line.
Sure.
He's done it in New England. He's done it in the Niners. And he's done it. He did it in the game on Monday. He converted a fourth and one on Monday.
They did win.
I do agree. But I do agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was a go for it situation on fourth.
Absolutely.
Down.
Yeah. Shout out.
But hold on. But my other complaint about coaches that's massive is, why do we keep running fourth down and one plays out of the shotgun?
Absolutely.
What is the value? You're running a 4th and 5 now.
Or run the tight end up the line of scrimmage and then get behind and snap them all.
Yes.
Get stuffed.
Yes.
The Cole Kmet play.
That is definitely a college football problem.
Yeah.
That they run their 4th and 1s out of the shotgun all the time.
Yeah.
And it does not convert at nearly the success rate you would think it would for someone who's willing to back up 5 yards to run the play.
It's like, oh, I bet it's a Hail Mary.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I cut you off. You were going to say something.
And I'll shout out Jordan Love throwing that interception so that Jimmy Garoppolo could take 2 knees and get my under 5.5 rushing yards.
Bang.
So I did watch the very end of the game.
You did not want the sneak on 4th and 1.
No, absolutely not.
Because he was going to get 2.
Yeah. And then Jordan Love was going to throw the interception. I would have lost my bet.
All right. Juice, your first week of Carney Parlay Cards.
How are you feeling about it? Wasn't great. 1-2 was the overall record on the 3-pick parlay. For those unfamiliar with how parlays work, I lost. Wasn't really close. Loved it.
I lost and I loved it.
Let me look at my notes here. I liked it.
No, here's the thing. Like, shout out Billy for going down this journey with me.
Okay, so let's do this.
Yeah.
Walk me through what your week was like.
Overall? Or on
to
this
do
card?
This.
Yeah. All right, so. No,
don't tell me about work.
It's like, how was breakfast?
No, I want to know your parlay card process with Billy. How did it go?
So it was, I didn't get the card until Friday, and I tried like hell to get through it as fast as I can so he could turn it in, right? So it was pretty rushed. With that, it was pretty good odds on the alt lines. But this week, he got a picture of it on Tuesday and already gave it to me. So that's neat. So now I can kind of take my time a little bit, right?
So have you turned it in yet?
No, he's going to do it tomorrow.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
So how much time do you think you put into putting together the odds to find a three-pick parlay?
About 20 minutes.
Oh, really? So you were able to do it pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean, you just pull up the screener and look at the odds on the card, and if it's not a point and a half difference, it's not relevant.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. So, unfortunately, I got to take a under on an NFL game this week, and it's the Bears game.
That's a great play.
That's a great, sure. Who knows?
No Justin Jefferson.
No Justin Jefferson.
That's right.
Will there be a Khalil Herbert?
I don't think so.
Right. Get Justin Fields running for his life and Kirk Cousins doing Kirk Cousins things in the fourth quarter, and we'll end with 40 points, and you'll win your parlay.
The under will cash. Yeah.
So let me hear it. What is your parlay? Okay. So you went real quick. I want to do this. You went through the parlay card with him last week. You got it on Friday. You submitted it in a pretty quick turnaround to him on Friday.
20 minutes, yeah.
This week, you got a picture of it from him on Tuesday.
Yep.
Are you still going to submit tomorrow on Friday?
Yeah, because that's when he goes. Like, he has to go do it.
Turn it in. So do you have to give him the copy, or does he fill one out for you?
He just fills it out for me.
He fills it out for
you. Yeah.
Okay.
It's awesome that he's doing this with me. I hope he thinks it's fun. He also thinks we're absolutely crazy we're ever going to win one.
I think you're going to win one.
Of course you're going to win one.
If I don't win out of five, I'm going to feel really foolish.
You're going to win two out of five.
You think so?
Yeah, why not?
Well, I like my chances this week.
So I take it these parlay cards aren't going well for Billy if he thinks you're never going to win one. Like, you know, Billy, picking three teams isn't that hard.
Yeah, right. Of course not.
I could probably do that in, what are the fair odds? 600 that we're getting?
500. Wait.
It's 5-1, right?
Yeah, 5-1 is the parlay card base.
Fair odds for a three?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it like 600?
Yeah, it's like 590, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yep.
Yeah, I could do it once out of every six times, probably.
Probably. So that's why I'm giving myself five.
Kurt, I don't really know that I need to talk about you victory lapping NFL MVP features, but what are you doing? You have 3 months to go.
What do you mean?
Okay. Two is one concussion away from not being in that conversation.
But did you look at the odds?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Are you hedging? CLB. Did you already get all your profit out of it?
I loved it. If I didn't retweet it, I'm sorry. All
right. We'll see, bud. We'll see how it goes. All right. I'm done with NFL. That was fun. We got 10 minutes left. Let's talk fantasy basketball.
Finally. Season. Basketball.
We might actually get Stevie to listen to one of our episodes.
There's no way he's getting to the 50th minute of this episode.
Also, dear audience, I'm about to go back to back.
No, there's no way. No,
Kurt, you are our champion. Congratulations.
Congratulations. I can't wait to see the trophy.
Wait till you guys see the players I'm going to snipe. You guys are dusted.
Good luck.
There are a variety of honors
that
get bestowed upon the champion. In addition to your cash reward, you get the trophy.
Yes.
You get to pick the location for dinner, and everyone else has to foot the bill for your portion of the dinner.
It's pretty serious.
I picked a cheap place. You guys are covered.
No, you picked a great place. Well, yeah, you picked a bar for us to go eat at, which is where probably everyone will pick every year. So
they better.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I might make you guys go sit down at a fine steak dinner.
I choose Chicago Steakhouse.
Who's paying for the Uber?
Yeah.
But I don't know. What do we like more? Do we like draft night or do we like the actual season more? Because
a draft night. Draft night is lit.
We're going to be having dinner at Jack's. We're going to be drafting live there. We're going to follow that up with a night of revelry. Might be some dice thrown. I don't know. Might be some bars visited.
Should be fun.
Should be a good time.
Oh, last year was great. I had so much fun last year.
That really, like, sparked our entire gambling addiction again.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
We lost our gambling addiction last October?
I don't mean betting on sports. I mean real gambling. Right?
Oh, you're saying going to the boat.
Yes. We all got to get a little taste together, and that was super fun. We got
a little bit more of the casino in us after
that.
Yeah. All right. So we do have fun in this league, and to share a little bit of insight as to how we have fun in this league, I wanted to share my five favorite rules. Rule number one ties, or rule number five, five favorites. Okay. Number five ties in directly to what we just said, in-person drafts.
Can't beat it.
We actually made Judge J. Troop move back home. He was living out in Denver, and we said, hey, there's five of us in this league in Peoria, and you're out in Denver. You better come back if you want to stay. And he was like, oh, I cannot leave this fantasy basketball league. I'm going to move back to Peoria.
Yeah. Okay.
So, That's number five. Think about that. Think about how important that is. Made someone move. Number four, we continue to raise the stakes until someone blinks. So every year we've increased the cost to play in this league, and I don't actually know what it is. I am confident I will not be the first person blinking.
Units.
It's expensive. For a fantasy basketball league, it's going to get expensive.
You're gonna make my wife think I'm playing for thousands of dollars in this
thing. 4 years, you might be playing for five.
If they continue increasing the rake, I don't know. I use the word they instead of we. I don't know why.
Instead of me, the commissioner.
Yeah. I am benevolent. Don't forget that. Number three, we settle all ties with dice throws.
Genius.
So that applies mostly to standings, but if we have any ties in our fractional point system, we'll do that as well. So all ties get settled with dice throws.
Yeah, draft pick choice or draft pick. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Number two, and this might be everyone's actual favorite, whoever wins the league must enhance the trophy for the next season.
Yeah.
So we're growing that.
Shame on Steve for not participating in that. I like to think I did a pretty good job, but I am excited to see what is up.
Well, Stevie was the first winner, so he got the trophy.
Yeah,
fair enough.
You
fair
won
enough.
It, and then you grew the trophy, and now Kurt has it, and he's going to again grow the trophy. So
already
embellish
done.
The trophy.
The other nice thing is
it got a little upgrade last Saturday.
I can't wait.
We're in a six-team league. This is entering year four with an actual completion of the season. We've had three different winners, so keep that in mind. Might be my year. I'm terrible at this. And my favorite rule in this league, number one, captain's meeting.
Captain's meeting.
That's where we regularly get together throughout the NBA season and talk all things about what we're going to do next season to make the league different.
Yeah, so like draft night is one night and the league is, you know, however many days. And we have about 102 conversations about how to change the rules.
And the best part
also
of it
trades.
Is,
yeah.
I attend approximately 5% of these captains meetings. So I do enjoy when you guys just start randomly blasting me with messages on a given Tuesday night. And I think to myself, oh, the Celtics must be on.
Mm-hmm. Celtics run tonight. Yeah, I got a couple trade offers tonight from a couple of the participants.
Is that all you're getting hyped for? For the NBA season, just new look Celtics?
New look Celtics. At first, I was a little emotionally distressed. Two of my favorite Celtics had left. But at the end of the day, Kurt kind of talked me off the ledge there and was like, hey.
They're better.
All in move.
Yeah, they're better.
The last thing I wanted to see was, honestly, the same team trot out there and go to the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals and lose.
Yep. So that starting five is ridiculous.
It's pretty neat.
It's
look,
pretty neat.
Zinger, stay healthy, bud.
Because Zinger,
dude is a talent.
Zinger drains a three for the first possession of the preseason, and it was so exciting.
Yes, he is a monster. As long as he stays healthy, he'll be a productive player.
I'm excited
for that. Jrue Holiday was the one where I saw the return on him, and I was like, he's that good? That was a lot that was given up to get him. And I asked Kurt, and he was like, that's a great move. And then I started reading articles on it, and article after article is like, this is a monster move. He's going to fit glove in hand with these Celtics. He's going to cover up all the deficiencies that they have reportedly had over the last several seasons. So,
yeah, stay healthy. Like you said, stay healthy. Jeez Louise. Yeah. Don't Gordon Hayward this.
Shout out to Gordon Hayward. Sorry about your leg.
Shout out to those 2.5 minutes.
Are there any side topics, Kurt, that have you particularly excited besides gambling?
I mean, maybe I get to finally watch the Magic make the playoffs after like 100,000 years of not doing anything productive in the NBA.
I mean, Banchero looked like the real deal last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting.
They might win 40 games this year and slide into that number 10 seed.
Who's your draft pick this year?
I can't remember. We had two of them. Gosh, I can't remember. Not off the top of my head. Okay. Kid from Arkansas, and then I can't remember the other kid.
Okay.
Nothing to write home about. I mean, they're just going to, there's ceilings role players, I think, for both of them.
Yeah.
It's not like we had the first pick in the draft, right?
Gotcha. All right. Well, we're going to have a full NBA preview next week in addition to talking with Corby. So make sure to tune into that. Kurt's going to be talking through his NBA futures card. RJ and I will do some more overstating the Celtics' chances, and we will wildly speculate about topics we are not informed enough on.
Can't wait. So
before we do that, Kurt, can you give out maybe a play? Give folks a taste on some of the things you're excited about from your card that maybe they can grab if they want
in the meantime? Yeah, I'm actually going to hand out. I'm feeling a little Jolly St. Vic-ish tonight. So I'm going to hand out two plays, two prop season-long plays. The first one's going to be Sabonis for the Sacramento Kings, over 6.9 assists, minus 115 on DraftKings. He is, I believe, 7-plus assists on FanDuel for minus 315, and for 7.5 assists, I believe he's minus 115 on Caesars.
Wow.
So we're getting a nice little discount here.
Over value play. Yeah.
I think he's 7.5 on Caesars. Okay. But the key stat when you look at Sabonis is the team that he has around him and the assists, potential assist chances that he has. So he is right around top 13, 12 in the league in potential assists. What that means is that he's creating plays for his teammates. They're called potential assists.
Yeah,
pretty self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
So he averaged 7.9 last year. We're getting 6.9 this year. He's got a bunch of people around him who can score the basketball. Harrison Barnes, De'Aaron Fox. They added Herter from the Hawks last year in a trade. So he's got guys who he can pass and can put in the basket. So
I like it. With these averages, are there a minimum games played requirement?
Yeah, 41.
41?
41.
Oh, interesting.
So another stay healthy. Right.
And you got one more for us.
I do, right? Have one more. I've got Şengün. Now, most of you probably don't know who Şengün is.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah, it's Şengün.
I know him.
For the Houston Rockets, center, over 9 rebounds at minus 115 DK. He is over 9.5 on Caesars for plus 115. If you look at his rebound chances, he is in the top 10 for rebound chances. So that's kind of the same thing along the lines of potential assists. So rebound chances is how many chances do you have to grab the board, yeah, right? More chances you have, the more rebounds you're going to get. So he is up there with the best of them, with Rudy Gobert, with AD. He's not quite there in the 20s.
Yeah.
He's hovering around that 17, 18 range.
Okay.
So last 15 games of the year, he was really increased his playing time. He was around 18 rebound chances per game and averaging over 10.5 rebounds, I believe, per game. So 9 seems very doable for him. I like him this year.
And the Rockets stink. Who are they going to play?
And the Rockets stink. They don't have anybody getting rebounds.
Yeah.
You look at the other players on their team, it's Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., and those guys look to score first.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So he should be get his rebounds this year. I love that
prop. I dig it. If I can find these, I'm going to play them both.
All right. So we got Sabonis over 6.9 assists, minus 115 on DK. And I'm going to pronounce this phonetically so that they can Google it. Şengün.
Yeah, Şengün the Penguin.
Şengün, over 9 rebounds, also minus 115 on DK. Kurt, you have how many total on your card that we're going to talk through next week, or what's your estimate?
My estimate, I'm going to try to keep it around 15 to 20.
And yeah, you believe the logic behind those plays is going to be similar to the kinds of logic you presented tonight, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Well, that'll do it for us, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Good juju to your bets this week, and we will talk again soon.
Bye.